Dr. Kitman is this your minister? Can I take your representation in that afternoon?
Your chair, to read some information with regards to the swine flu that is circulating around the globe. Mr. Speaker, I'd like to just read a little bit of information which I have collected about the swine flu. What is swine influenza? Swine influenza is a respiratory disease of pigs caused by type A influenza virus. The classical swine flu influenza type A, or H1N1 virus, was first isolated from a pig in 1930. How common is swine flu infection in humans? In the past, the Center for Disease Control receives reports of approximately one human swine influenza virus infection every 1 to 2 years in the United States. But from what are the symptoms of the swine flu? Mr. Speaker, December 2005 through January 2009, 12 cases of human infection with swine flu have been reported. What are some of the symptoms of the swine flu? The symptoms of swine flu in people are expected to be similar to the symptoms of regular human seasonal influenza and include fever, lethargy, lack of appetite, coughing. Some people with swine flu also have reported runny nose, sore throat, nausea, vomiting, and diarrhea. How can people catch the swine flu virus? Can people catch the swine flu virus from eating pork? The answer is no. Swine influenza viruses are not transmitted by food. You cannot get swine influenza from eating pork or pork products. Eating properly handled and cooked pork and pork products is safe. Cooking pork at an internal temperature of 160 degrees Fahrenheit kills the swine flu virus as it does other bacteria and viruses. How does swine flu spread? From human to human transmission, people may become infected by touching something with flu viruses on it and then touching their mouth or nose. Mr. Speaker, the Ministry of Health, the government of St. Lucia, take this pandemic very seriously. The World Health Organization on Monday, April the 27, 2009, raised the pandemic alert from 3 to 4. This suggests that there is an evidence of human-to-human transmission of the virus H1N1. On Tuesday, April the 28th, 2009, the swine flu epidemic crossed new borders, with the first cases confirmed in the Middle East and the Asia-Pacific region. Countries affected to date are Mexico, USA, New York, Kansas, Texas, Canada, Spain, France, New Zealand, and the latest being the Middle East and the Asia-Pacific region. In Mexico, Mr. Speaker, there are more than 2,000 reported cases, and the death toll blamed on the virus has just passed 150. On Monday, April 27, 2009, the St. Lucia government officials, the Ministry of External Affairs, the Ministry of Health, and the Ministry of Education met with the Ambassador of Mexico to the OECS who has controlled his government's commitment to combating the deadly disease and to limit further spread, but agree that it is a challenge. Mr. Speaker, there were no reports of the presence of the disease in any of the CARICOM states to date. Given the severity of the impact of the disease, the Ministry of Health, in collaboration with NEMO, Ministry of Agriculture, Ministry of Education, and other relevant sectors have met and activated the action plan to mitigate the impact to the disease. Major activities include public sensitization on the nature of the disease, how it is spread, and precautionary measures to be followed. To date, no travel restrictions are in effect in the region of the CARICOM, although there are mass cancellations of travel to Mexico due to travel advisories from the U.S. authorities. Mr. Speaker, we in the Ministry of Health have taken this pandemic very seriously. And as I outlined to you, we are monitoring it very closely. Mr. Speaker, before I go into my deliberation, I must extend a very special salutation to the people of my constituency, the constituency of Anthony Canary, who have placed this honor upon me, and which I have humbly received to represent them in this honorable house. Mr. Speaker, I would like to pay special attention to the following achievements in my constituency. As you have heard before, Mr. Speaker, the Miller Primary School won the Best Organized Booth, the Most Innovative Project, and placed third in the Environmental Impact category. A student of the Miller Primary School named Kester Charlemagne presented an invention, the homemade cooler, which won the primary school's winning project. As the Minister of Education pointed out earlier, he traveled to Trinidad and also won the Caribbean Young Innovators and Inventors competition. And among 34 countries, he was the overall winner, and was given an award by the Organization of American States and the National Institute of Higher Education, Research, Science, and Technology. Mr. Speaker, I also want to extend acknowledgement for some of the talent that came from this constituency in the field of music. For instance, Madam Mr. Speaker, Hugh Black, Black Pearls, Wally, the Ancillary Primary School Choir, and the Sicilian Ray Choir. Mr. Speaker, this is one of the reasons, Mr. Speaker, looking at what we have seen here, that when I got the privilege to represent the people of the constituency of Anthony Canary, Mr. Speaker, this constituency happened to be the constituency, the two villages, the forest of the two villages on the island of St. Lucia. And Mr. Speaker, I acknowledge that what would lead you out of poverty is education. And this is why, Mr. Speaker, which I will go into more detail later, my development constituency group invested in an information technology center, which is at the Ancillary Primary School, the Millet Primary School, the Canary Primary School, the Jackwell Community Center, and Mr. Speaker, we are just in completion of a smaller one in the Bwaden area, because we felt, Madam Speaker, that the children after school having to go to Jackmel to access these computers, if the distance is too far. And Mr. Speaker, we invested in over $500,000 with this project. We enforced the areas where these were placed, and so far, Mr. Speaker, I am pleased to announce that we have had no problems of theft. Mr. Speaker, we have air-conditioned these areas, and Mr. Speaker, we don't have just two or three. We have an average of 18 to 20 computers. Mr. Speaker, we have linked with the Ministry of Education jointly to manage these centers with the Ministry of Education. And Mr. Speaker, I believe that every child, because of this, Mr. Speaker, every child in the constituency of Ancillary Canary has access to computers. Not only that, Mr. Speaker, we have access in the evening to adults who want to educate themselves in this regard. And this we are doing on a voluntary basis. Mr. Speaker, I will go further. I do not want to address at this point in time things in my constituency. I want to leave that for a little bit later. But Mr. Speaker, before I go any further, I would like to address a comment made by the representatives for North Beaufort, of Beaufort North. Mr. Speaker, he recommended that I be moved from the Ministry of Health. Mr. Speaker, history repeats itself. Like the representative for the Anchor Chazelle says, history repeats itself. Mr. Speaker, when I first came to this house in 2007, the leader of the opposition, I was then Minister of National Security, the leader of the opposition in this very seat there, Madam Speaker, when the last administration brought in 10 English supercops to control and take charge of the police force, because, Madam Speaker, the government of the time could not control the police force. Crime was on the rise. And Madam Speaker, I came at a time when these gentlemen were getting fed up. They wanted to go back, but having this heavy contract, they had no choice. And they expressed their frustration because the last administration could not manage these 10 gentlemen. And Madam Speaker, Mr. Speaker, every constitution knows the result. When I was this minister, what I did with the police force. crime was down by 35%. This is on the record. This is on the record. Mr. Speaker, I remember when this was happening. The leader of the opposition came to me and told me, Keith, he called me Keith. He says, Keith, you should not stay in Home Affairs. You should move over to health. That's where you belong, in health. I listened to him in great anticipation because, Mr. Speaker, the performance in 6 months was what they could not achieve in 8 years. And today, just before the representatives from North, Beaufort North, made his remark, I was congratulated upstairs in the lunch by the ex-Minister of Health, Damien Greaves, and told me, you're doing a damn good job. Excuse my expression, Mr. Speaker. And he says, my information is that health is on the swing and health is moving. Madam, Mr. Speaker, what is fascinating is that the opposition, they say they love St. Lucia and they want wealth, they mean well for St. Lucia. But every time that they see something good happening within this government or to the people of St. Lucia, they try to destroy it. Mr. Speaker, you heard the very same remark and the very same thing said by the Minister of External Affairs, the representative for Chauvel. But I'm sending a message to the opposition that I know that they are obsessed with Mondesi. I know they cannot have a meeting. The leader of the opposition, he cannot mention anything but Mondesi. The question the people of St. Lucia have to ask, Madam Speaker, what is the reason? Madam Speaker, I ignore them because, Madam Speaker, I'm focused. Madam Speaker, I'm matured. Madam Speaker, I will not let them derail me. I will not let them derail me, Madam Speaker. And I'm telling you one thing, Madam Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I'll tell you one thing, Mr. Speaker, that now, even more so, they have more reason to be concerned. Mr. Speaker, I will leave a little bit of this a little later as we go along. We'll plug in. As Minister of Health, Wellness, National Mobilization, Gender Relations, Human Services, and Family Affairs, Mr. Speaker, St. Lucians both here and abroad, with the just concerns about the quality and type of healthcare delivery system that this ministry is supposed to deliver to its people, will be pleased to know that great strides have been done in moving healthcare on this island to a new level and that this effort is ongoing. Mr. Speaker, we in the Ministry of Health, we are sensitive to the fact that a good health system will comfort not just our population, but also will encourage tourists and investors to our shores. Every St. Lucian wants to know that when he or she enters our health facilities, that he has a second chance in life. Mr. Speaker, when this administration took over governance of this country in 2006, the health sector was in a state of transition. we are pleased to inform you that we have now taken a new direction and we have adopted a new model of care, which is moving from the old model of disease to a model of health and wellness under the umbrella of primary health care. Mr. Speaker, primary health care is the most economical way of administering health care to the developing country. But to successfully do that, Madam Speaker, it cannot be business as usual. Our system continues to respond to the needs of the population within a limited resource and in a constrained environment. This situation results in the gradual eroding of the quality of care to the patient itself. We are fortunate, however, Madam Mr. Speaker, to have retained dedicated health workers who are now the foundation of the health system. The reformed efforts aimed at improving health and working conditions have been implemented in the past in an ad hoc manner and have resulted in much frustration to both the service users and the providers. We can no longer continue to conduct health planning in isolation of other disciplines. This is why this administration has taken a holistic approach to health. We are involving disciplines like social transformation, education, agriculture, and tourism. Mr. Speaker, education is important because if you are taking a model and adopting a model of prevention, you must educate your people the do's and don'ts to stay healthy. In agriculture, you must instruct your farmers and the population, most of the farmers, the types of food to grow, and your people, the types of food to eat. In tourism, Mr. Speaker, you know the world today is a small world. Within hours, you can be moved from one end to the next. And Madam Mr. Speaker, in the same breath, you can move diseases from one end of the globe to another in a very short space of time. This new model of care will be adopted across all issues of health. It will be used to determine the appropriate structures required to ensure that all our patients have access to care and that our health system can contribute to creating and enabling an environment which supports healthy and productive living and establish a platform for generating new awareness for investment in health and wellness. Mr. Speaker, we must be mindful in our planning. The demographics of our population show, Mr. Speaker, a young population coexisting with a growing elderly population. Epidemiological profile shows that we are living longer, but Mr. Speaker, are we living healthier lives? Data for the period 1995 to 2005 revealed some of the threats that we are faced today, like communicable diseases, non-communicable diseases, dental health, and eye health. Mr. Speaker, some of the problems we face today, for example, with our non-communicable diseases, this is one of our bigger killers. Today, this government has been treating 14,041 people, giving them free medication for hypertension and diabetes at a cost of $1.6 million to this government. Dental hygiene is important because Madam Dipatika, if you have dental problems and gum problems, it can result in the side effects of other diseases that pertain to you. Eye health, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, solutions face the problem on record as one of the areas with the highest rate of glaucoma. And the result of glaucoma is blindness. Mr. Speaker, glaucoma is a condition whereby the pressures of the eyes are elevated. The nerve at the back of the eye, called the optic nerve, science says it has a bundle of fibers of about 1 million fibers. And these fibers spread throughout the back of the eye and through the brain, because vision is neurological. And these fibers are very sensitive to pressure. And as the pressure interferes with these fibers, they fail to function. And as a result, blindness. But what is frightening, Mr. Speaker, is that it is a slow process. It is a slow process. And gradual. And you just eventually wake up one day and find that you've lost a lot of your vision or all of your vision. Mr. Speaker, I will go into this later, and this is why we are blessed with a center of excellence of ophthalmology at the Victoria Hospital. Yeah, you have to stay up late to listen to me. Mr. Speaker, child mortality has decreased, but the rate of infant mortality has increased. This was brought up by the representatives for NICU South. We are looking into it. Presently, I don't have the answers as to why, but we are looking into it, and when I get the answers, we will let it be known. Life expectancy for men has increased from 68 to 71, and for women from 71 to 77. Mr. Speaker, we are also faced with the burden of an increase in diseases like cancer, injuries from cars and self-inflicted injuries, kidney failure. Mr. Speaker, it is becoming increasingly more costly, because every day in my office we get the people increasing in numbers assisting health to travel and seek medical care elsewhere. One of the areas that attention has to be paid by Mr. Speaker is in regard to injury. Injury results in a tremendous cost financially to government and taxpayers, but also, Mr. Speaker, there's an emotional aspect to it, because the victims of these injuries sometimes are left partially paralyzed or fully paralyzed. Without greater effort to promote healthy lifestyles, the frequency of these illnesses and the preventable deaths and injuries will only rise, and with this, the increase in health costs. Mr. Speaker, our healthcare system is underfinanced. In 2006, we were underfinanced by about 30%, and today, with the cost of everything going up, this percentage must be a little more than that. A large share of our capital budget is used in maintaining the aging physical health structures. Hence, Mr. Speaker, we must focus on preventative medicine. This is why the Ministry of Health is recognizing that we need a better maintenance department. The health ministry is a ministry that in its possession has a lot of real estate. We have hospitals, we have health centers, we have administrative buildings, and yet, when I got into this ministry, we found that we on the payroll, there were carpenters, there were masons, there were plumbers, but yet, no organized maintenance department. Everyone is quite aware of the pressures we got with Golden Hope. And Golden Hope's problems, it would appear that these problems have crept up over the last 2 years. But everyone here knows, Mr. Speaker, that Golden Hope's problems were long before we came into government. And the problems, 80% of the problems at Golden Hope was as a result of lack of maintenance. And this, the new thrust in centralizing maintenance and putting a proper maintenance department together, Mr. Speaker, we should see better results. It hurts me, Mr. Speaker, sometimes when I walk through some of our medical institutions and our medical clinics, to see a couple of broken tires, 2 or 3 tires broken, to see a door not nailed properly. And Mr. Speaker, what is the cost of a tire? $5, $6. And I always repeat, why can't you be taking care of this if we had a proper maintenance department? It makes the thing look tatty, unpleasant to the eye. And these kind of things, Mr. Speaker, we'll be addressing when we centralize and organize our maintenance department in the Ministry of Health. We have with us a civil engineer, quantity surveyors. Mr. Speaker, we have the manpower to do a good job. Mr. Speaker, I want to deal with the achievements over the past 2 years. I will not even go beyond that. Because as the Minister of Health, my government gave me the honor and the task of being the CEO in the Ministry of Health. And I'm accountable to my government and the people of St. Lucia. And I just want to go through some of the things that we have accomplished over the last 2 years. Mr. Speaker, when I became Minister of Health, just over a year, I found a ministry with poor motivation of staff. I found a ministry, in my opinion, that had poor middle and upper management. And we decided to go to work and make a difference. Mr. Speaker, over the last 2 years, we've had to take some measures, some policy decisions, and some guidelines. We met a plan called a strategic health plan. This was a plan originated from the previous administration. It was a 5-year plan to restructure and remodel the health ministry. But Mr. Speaker, there were a number of things that were supposed to have been done over a time frame. And when I came in as minister, I found most of these were not accomplished. Because of the new direction that we have taken in health, a direction of prevention, a direction of primary health care, we have to put in place some guidelines, some protocols. For example, the legislation that governs the Waste Management Act. This is an act, Mr. Speaker, which makes provision for the prevention and management of the control of waste. We also had to enact the Health Practitioners Act, which on April the 6th, 2009, will now allow us to see an improvement in the quality of care given by our professionals. Mr. Speaker, this act is very important to monitor the quality of care given by our practitioners, to give guidelines to our various disciplines in terms of health as to what is expected. For instance, if you went in as a diabetic patient to a doctor, there are a number of tests, a number of procedures that he has to do before he can tell you you have the green light or you have the red light. Mr. Speaker, this also has the limitation whereby the practitioners have to have a number of hours of what we call continuing education. Mr. Speaker, the health profession changes very quickly. New medications come on, new equipment come on, but before, there was no regulation or no obligation to any physician or any health practitioner to go and have continued education. And this is very important if we are to keep up to date and if these physicians have to deliver the standard and quality care. We had to enact new legislation which created for the development and the delivery of mental health care services. Mr. Speaker, you know, we've changed our policy with regards to mental health. Long ago, when someone had mental problems, we took them and we brought them into Golden Hope, locked the doors and left them there for a period of time. When they had their time, we let them go into the community. No longer are these times, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, we are taking a different approach, a community-based mental health program, that's what we are doing now, Mr. Speaker, whereby we are engaging the community where these people live, we are engaging their families, we are engaging our professionals. And when we have these people into the community, our job is to make sure that they are in proper home, that we teach their families how to handle and how to take care of these individuals, and also we monitor that they take their medication, because compliance with medication is very hard among mentally ill people, because every day you have to take a bunch of tablets. But we have an injection which we give to these patients, and it lasts a whole month, so every day they're not into taking medication and swallowing a number of tablets. And as a result of this, if you leave it on their own, they will only take a portion of these tablets. Mr. Speaker, these patients, we must integrate them into their community. To date, we treat about 500 mentally sick individuals every month at the Golden Hope. But Mr. Speaker, we have at Golden Hope a little over 100 people. That means, Mr. Speaker, most of the people that have mental problems are within the community, and they are useful because, Mr. Speaker, they can work, they can contribute to the communities and the country on a whole, rather than having them locked up behind walls. So this new approach to mental health is a new approach, and we are very advanced in the OECS with regard to mental health. We have to produce manuals and guidelines for example, manuals for mentors, manuals for maternal and child health, manuals for good food-based dietary materials, manuals for maintenance of health facilities, manuals for the operation of the transit home for children, and the management of child abuse and neglect. Mr. Speaker, the transit home for children was a home which was bought at a cost of $1.3 million. It has a therapy unit to it, which is at a cost of another $1 million. New policies have to be developed, Mr. Speaker. New policies for Human Services and Department of Occupational Health Safety, essential drug procurement and distribution and policy, mental health and health promotion, the policy for hiring full-time doctors at our health centers. Mr. Speaker, this policy had to be adopted because we were getting lots of complaints from the public that they had no confidence and little trust in our health centers. They were of the opinion that the doctors were rushing them too fast and had very little confidence in the medication that was given to them at this time. And what happened, Mr. Speaker, they would crowd the hospital, the Victoria Hospital, and take in the place of people that need emergency care. So our policy today is that we hire these doctors full-time, that they will be in these health centers for the full day. We have revised their salary, and we have given them a salary that we think is reasonable. And in this way, Mr. Speaker, the people will rebuild the confidence that they have lost in our health centers, because if we are going to be using primary health care as our new model, our primary facilities must have the confidence of the people that it serves. How have we developed our human resource development and management? To develop our human resource in the ministry, we got help from outside. We got help from PAHO, that is the Pan-American Health Organization.
Member, you have 15 more minutes to complete your contribution.
Speaker, I beg for the invocation of Section 32(10) to allow the Honourable Member to complete his presentation in 45 minutes.
Members, the question is that standing order for the 210 be suspended to allow the Member for Anthony Recanery an additional 30 minutes. 45 minutes to complete his presentation. As many of that opinion, the aye. As many of the contrary opinion, the no. The ayes have it. Remember, you can continue. You have 45 minutes left to complete your presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I know it's getting late, and I'm going to try to go through it as quick as possible. But I need time, Mr. Speaker, I need some time, like all the others did. Mr. Speaker, one of the ways that we have been developing our human resources by seeking help from outside. Mr. Speaker, I am one that believes that the type of health care that our St. Lucians deserve and women want in so is that our tax base in St. Lucia cannot afford the kind of care that we are looking forward to. And I believe that with our good friends, our good international friends, we can find help. And this is what we've been doing in the Ministry of Health. We have engaged Tahoe with assistance. Madam Speaker, Mr. Speaker, an example of the help there is the Soufre Hospital. Mr. Speaker, Soufre Hospital, I went to have a visit at the Soufre Hospital to deal with some personnel problems that was down there. And Mr. Speaker, when I got there, I found a hospital with two cooks that never boiled a pan of water for the day. I found a lab technician who virtually did no lab work but just collect blood and put it in the fridge and send it somewhere else. I found a physiotherapist with equipment but doing no physiotherapy. I found some midwives who on average on a yearly basis saw approximately 50 pregnant women up to about 3 or 4 days before delivery. And then these individuals are sent somewhere else to be delivered by midwives and returned back to Soufre Hospital 3 or 4 days later. Mr. Speaker, the cost to government and taxpayers of St. Lucia was at a tremendous cost. Like someone referred it, it was more expensive per patient to go to a 5-star hotel. So I quickly engaged the director of Tahoe, Dr. Gina Watson. Dr. Gina Watson is a medical doctor. She was the director of one of the largest hospitals in Nicaragua, and she worked for the Pan American Health Organization for a number of years. A team was sent down so that we could examine how we can utilize this hospital based on the facts and what we have then. A second visit was paid by Dr. Watson, and we came up with a plan as to how we're going to utilize this hospital and make use of the taxpayers' money. Mr. Speaker, at the same time, there was an allocation of about $450,000 for repairs to this hospital. We had a basic plan for repairs. But I felt from this plan we could get more for our money. I engaged a Taiwanese company that is in St. Lucia now. They are specialized in hospital planning and hospital design. And I put my case to them and told them, I need something proper. I need something that will give me value for my money. And Madam Speaker, I told them that we have no money to pay you for these services, and they agreed to do it free of charge. And they came up with a design, Mr. Speaker. They came up with a design, a beautiful design. We took this design and invited Tahoe back again to St. Lucia to come and analyze the design and see where each thing was put. And we, together with the staff from the hospital, our nurses, the architect, Dr. Watson, myself, we sat down and made a plan for the use of the new plan. And Mr. Speaker, as we speak here, construction is being done at the Soufre Hospital for this expansion. And I'm sure the people of Soufre will be proud to see the outcome of this hospital. But not only this, Mr. Speaker, I also ask PAHO to help us in equipping this hospital, and they are doing that at no cost to us when it is completed. Mr. Speaker, we have a problem in terms of our nurses. We have a serious nursing shortage. And Mr. Speaker, with the help of the Cuban government, we are getting assistance from the Cuban government. We are also engaged to Afro Community College to increase the numbers that they take in the nursing program. When I went to Cuba last year, I visited the 100-odd nurses, nursing students that are in training in Cuba. And when I got to Cuba, Mr. Speaker, I found out from the authorities that these students were on a three-year program, and they were not going to be qualified nurses, but they were going to be nursing aides. And to be a qualified nurse in Cuba, Mr. Speaker, you have to take a five-year program. There and then, I negotiated with the authorities there to extend the program. Because, Mr. Speaker, when these students come back to St. Lucia to work as nurses, there's an OECS exam that they have to sit. And this is done with every nurse throughout the Caribbean. And if they fail to pass this, they cannot practice nursing. And if they pass this examination, Mr. Speaker, they can practice in any of the OECS countries without having to write any further examination. And I think we have in excess of 100 or there. Mr. Speaker, we are building our human resource by seeking specialization for our doctors. Because, Mr. Speaker, you know, we are in the process of, first we are going to have a mental hospital completed by October, November, if on schedule. And in 33 months, Mr. Speaker, we are going to have the concept of a general hospital. And as I said before, Mr. Speaker, that a hospital is not the four walls, but a hospital is the personnel, the equipment within these four walls. Mr. Speaker, we are not going to be sitting here and waiting until this is delivered to us to start looking for personnel. So, like we have been doing for our new mental hospital, we have programs in place, people being trained, so as this hospital is open, we have our personnel and we have all our equipment and personnel in place so that this thing can function and function properly. The same thing we are doing with our general hospital. We are now recruiting the young doctors out here to specialize in the areas that we think we need. And we are pleased to announce that we have got that kind of support from countries like Mexico. Mr. Speaker, I went on a conference in Mexico. And on every conference that I go, I engage the people I see there looking for help, looking for the kind of help that we need down here. And I engaged the Minister of Health in Mexico on two occasions and said to him, how can he help us? And Mr. Speaker, they have offered to give us help. They offer 52 different disciplines of health care. And they offer to specialize our doctors, our nurses, and if we want, we can either let them come down and train our nurses, or they will come, or we can send the individuals to Mexico. But more so, Mr. Speaker, they were also willing, because I set up a team of about 8 different individuals from the Ministry of Health, and they were prepared to pay the ticket and hotel for these individuals. The same thing I did with Brazil. And Mr. Speaker, Brazil has offered to give us the same kind of help. And also, they promised to pay the airfare and hotel for Dr. King and myself to go there and seek that kind of help. The French government has come up and they have promised not only to train some of our specialized doctors, but also they've promised to help in the administration and whatever care help we need in getting us on our, off our feet to start functioning at the two hospitals which we're going to receive. The government of Taiwan has promised the same thing. Canada has promised the same thing. Mr. Speaker, how have we improved our services and care? We have introduced primary care clinics at the Gozili Polyclinic on Saturday. We have responded to the treatment of patients with diabetes and hypertension by providing better integrated management and monitoring services. Mr. Speaker, we have invested in the program of providing the free medication that I said before at a cost of $1.6 million to the government of St. Lucia. With the increased awareness of mental health, we have implemented the community health services that we have been talking about a little while ago. St. Lucia has made significant strides to protect its borders through its commitment to the international health regulations. Note, Mr. Speaker, this piece of legislation allows St. Lucia to join a global response to control the spread of diseases across borders. And you see, Mr. Speaker, by establishing this and joining with this sort of organization, we are able to join with the rest of the world for the alertness of diseases coming to our borders. We have expanded the response to the treatment of care of HIV and AIDS. Mr. Speaker, statistics of 2008 is showing a reduction in the number of people dying from AIDS in St. Lucia today. You would have observed, Mr. Speaker, that last year, Carnival time, you saw the amount of promotion that we did for the HIV and AIDS. Reason for this, Mr. Speaker, is that St. Lucia was given approximately $8.9 million towards the AIDS program. And when I came into the ministry, we had a visit from the World Bank. And a lot of pressure was put on us from the World Bank because we had implemented only 21% of those funds. And then, Madam Speaker, they gave us the warning that within 18 months, had we not used this money, all would be returning back to the original place where it came from, that is, the Global Fund. Mr. Speaker, it left me with much shame. But I assure them that I have just taken this ministry over a number of months, so 2 or 3 months. And I assured them the next time they came back, Mr. Speaker, it would be a different story. We came back 6 months later, Mr. Speaker, and we had used 66% of that money. This program ends in June. Mr. Speaker, we have some money there to continue the program for a short while we seek refinancing. Mr. Speaker, this is some of the things that we found in the ministry. Lack of application. Lack of application, monies returning back to the original source, and monies that St. Lucians can use. Today, the antiviral drug is given to our patients at no cost. Look, Mr. Speaker, one of the ways of increasing and improving our care and services is by delivering and establishing what we call centers of excellence. Mr. Speaker, centers of excellence are areas of healthcare whereby you provide either the personnel the equipment, the pre- and post-operative care. Because, Mr. Speaker, if you were to travel to the United States or to Europe for a heart bypass, you would find that the surgeon fees would run you around $2,000, but your hospital bills would run you over in excess of $18,000 to $20,000. So these centers of excellence would reduce the cost of health care to the patient and to government. And my trip to Cuba, Madam Speaker, Mr. Speaker, we have established in St. Lucia an ophthalmology center of excellence. I went to Cuba on my trip to Cuba, and I sat down with the officials there and said to them, we in St. Lucia don't necessarily need doctors for cataracts because we have quite a few of them on island. But one of the things that we need most is a retina specialist. Mr. Speaker, a retina specialist is not easy to find. St. Vincent does not have one. Grenada does not have one. Dominica does not have one. Antigua does not have one. St. Kitts does not have one. St. Nevis does not have one. Anguilla does not have one. St. Lucia does not have one. And Madam, Mr. Speaker, the need for such a specialist is great because the disease, the non-communal disease that affects us most is diabetes and hypertension. And both of these have serious consequences of damage to the back of the eye. You get retinal detachment where the back of your eye just splits. You get bleeding all over the back of the eye, reducing your vision. But we have no one on island. So I negotiated, Madam Speaker, to have a retinal surgeon sent down here. And we, Madam Speaker, we have renovated a portion of the Victoria Hospital. We are just waiting, Madam Speaker, for our air-conditioned minister to come in from Miami so that we can have this center in full operation. At the moment, you will see that the Cubans, they don't only send on the equipment. I went myself to look at the equipment that was offered to us. And in a short space of time, they sent us approximately $1 million worth of equipment, which we have on island. Mr. Speaker, we also spoke about having a center of excellence for kidney problems. Kidney failure is a serious problem on island, and as a result of these non-communal diseases. As we speak, at the Victoria Hospital, we treat about 50 patients for dialysis, but we have a waiting list of 100 and over. And what we have done, Mr. Speaker, we have renovated the floor where we serve as our dialysis unit in order to increase the number of machines that we have at the Victoria Hospital to accommodate the patients. But we have gone one step further, Mr. Speaker. We have extended our program, our nephrology program, by establishing a dialysis unit at the St. Jude's Hospital. We are in the process of constructing this area. Also, Mr. Speaker, Madam Speaker, we have sought external help to get these machines to St. Lucia. We have negotiated with our ambassadors overseas, because I am one that believes that the embassies overseas can be of much greater use, and we put them to use, and I'm happy to announce that the ambassador in New York was able to get a donation of 3 machines from one island. We have received a donation of the 1 machine from the Bank of Nova Scotia. We have received promise from the NIC for 3 machines. Also, recently, I got a call from the consulate in Canada and we are getting 3 more machines, dialysis machines, from a Canadian non-governmental organization. Madam Speaker, St. Jude's Hospital, while on my trip to Taiwan, we were able to bring to Taiwan a shopping list, because Madam Speaker, you know St. Jude's has the problems. I will get into that a little bit later. St. Jude's had this problem, and we were able to twin them with a hospital in Taiwan, a hospital with a 1,800-bed hospital called the Christian Hospital in Taiwan. There's a memorandum of understanding which has been signed by this hospital from Taiwan with the St. Jude's Hospital to aid them, and at the moment as we speak, St. Jude's is preparing to send some personnel to Taiwan for training. Madam Speaker, while we are on the topic of St. Jude's, I think I should touch a little bit on St. Jude's, because of late you've heard St. Jude's in the news. Madam Speaker, we have to understand the problems that St. Jude's is facing. When I got in as Minister of Health, St. Jude's faced tremendous financial problems. In the year 2003, the then St. Lucia Labour Party government made St. Jude's, gave them the status of the statutory authority, but left them with a debt deficit of $2 million and never took care of that. And I'm eager, in 2008, St. Jude's were faced with financial problems, not being able to pay for medication. I went to my government and asked for financial assistance. They were given $700,000 with a condition, because we felt, being a statutory body, the Ministry of Health could not just enter into St. Jude's and ask to have things done, because St. Jude's was controlled by a board. So the condition was that the Ministry of Health and the government of St. Lucia, they would have to permit us to do a financial and a management audit. And they agreed, and I think we are almost completed this exercise. Madam Speaker, the problems we have in St. Jude's is we are not able. Madam Speaker, I know time, but Madam Speaker, I deserve the time to be able to explain what I've done in the ministry, and I need to get some time. I know my colleagues are pushing me and rushing me, but I'm trying my best, because Madam Speaker, we have done a lot in the Ministry of Health, and I think the people of St. Lucia and the government and colleagues must know that. But Madam Speaker, I would ask them to bear with me, because I need the same way in which I bear with them when they were presenting. I think they have to bear with me, because Madam Speaker, the Ministry of Health is a very serious nation, and I want to explain to them that a healthy nation is a prosperous nation, and they have to take this in mind. So, Madam Speaker, I don't need to be rushed too much. I will finish, but I want them to be patient, and I need their indulgence in doing that, because it's an important ministry, and I think we have done a lot in this ministry in trying to bring this ministry around. I know, Madam Speaker, that health don't seem to be of too high importance in a lot of areas. But Madam Speaker, just let me get along, because they are disturbing me a bit. Madam Speaker, I want to I want to draw your attention to the kind of help financially that this administration has given to St. Jude's, and I would compare it with the prior administration. Madam Speaker, in 2001, St. Jude's was given an allocation of about $7 million. In 2002, St. Jude's was given an allocation of about $8 million plus. In 2003, they were given an allocation of about $8.5 million. In 2004, they were given an allocation of about $8.5 million again. In 2005, about $8.4 million. In 2006, they were given about $8.8 million. When we started in 2007, they were given an allocation of $8.8 million. In 2008, they were given an allocation of $10.5 million. 2008, 2009, they were given an allocation of $11.1 million. Madam Speaker, this is an indication of the importance that this government places on St. Jude's. And you can see the increase on a yearly basis in the allocation, vis-a-vis almost a steady sum throughout the prior years. Madam Speaker, let me touch a little bit about the physical infrastructure of our health ministry. St. Lucia is blessed with 32 health centers, one major general hospital, the Victoria Hospital in the north of the island, St. Jude's Hospital in the south, Sufre Hospital on the west coast, Denny Hospital on the east coast, and one polyclinic in Rosalie. Approximately 13 of these health centers have been renovated under the clinic refurbishment program with loans from the Caribbean Development Bank. Some of these health centers, Madam Speaker, the Bellevue Health Center, Grand Rivier Health Center, Foisson Health Center, Fort Saint Jacques Health Center, Larissus Health Center, Montrouge Health Center, Grace and Delisou Health Center, Richfond Health Center, Lapamengo Health Center, the Bexon Health Center, La Clery Health Center, Monchi Health Center, Kiloche Health Center, Labri Health Center, the Canaries Health Center almost completed, the Banner Health Center almost completed. We have also, Madam Speaker, our National Mental Wellness Center, or the Psychiatric Center, or the Neuropsychiatric Center. This was donated and financed by the people of the Republic of China and by the Republic of China and Taiwan. Madam Speaker, as we speak, the renovations are being completed by the Taiwanese. The interior is about 80% complete. Exterior is about 30 to 40% complete. Madam Speaker, I heard one of the members on the opposite side talk about this mental hospital and when it is, what will happen. Madam Speaker, it was a commitment of the last administration that it would do the retaining walls and the landscaping. But Madam Speaker, my understanding is that the Chinese waited for approximately 2 years and could not see progress in that direction and started putting the buildings all over. And today, thanks to the Taiwanese government, they're going to take on what was not done by the last administration. And we, Madam Speaker, will be building this Great Wall of China, that we call it, at a cost of approximately $5 million. This has to be done, Madam Speaker, before we start construction of the new general hospital, because the new general hospital and the psychiatric hospital are very close. So, Madam Speaker, we will have a mental hospital of 105 beds and we're going to have a general hospital of 122 beds. Madam Speaker, this general hospital, there has been a contract signed on January the 12th between all parties, and the contract was awarded to a company from Italy called INSO. Madam Speaker, this was another occasion when money was given by the European Union. Madam Speaker, when the idea came about, since the times of Sir John, and one would remember that there was speculation and costing here and there, should we build a new general hospital in the shock area, or should we renovate the Victoria Hospital? It started there, but the Labour Party administration, they were the ones that brought us to the location it is now on the Millennium Highway and bought the land. But what happened, Madam Speaker, is this: in giving the design that they wanted to the architect, they had 37 different disciplines, given each having their own shopping list in order to construct or design this hospital. And this was given to an English firm for design. Madam Speaker, what happened was this: the guys gave the best design, but when it came for tendering, we were given a donation of 20 million euros at the time. But the cheapest tender, the lowest tender that came, that was INSO, came at a cost of 160 million, and we could not construct. Madam Speaker, this offer laid in the Ministry of Health for 3.5 years. Nothing was being done. To the point where, Madam Speaker, the EU representative stationed in Barbados wrote the EU and saying that this money will have to be returned if nothing can be done. And this is when the excitement started, Madam Speaker. And you heard, history tells you that you make a good suggestion, but sometimes with no vision, it takes some time to digest. And today, Madam Speaker, we end up with a little bit of sharing between the two hospitals. We will be sharing the laundry, the kitchen, and the administrative section, because, Madam Speaker, the mental hospital is a huge complex. And fortunately, with promptness, we were able to salvage this one. Madam Speaker, we also have the construction of a new geriatric home for our elderly in Newport on a lot of approximately 10 acres at a cost of approximately $6 million. We are changing the concept here, Madam Speaker. We are giving these people enough area for them to do a little gardening, to engage in other little things rather than just sitting on the bed and watching television. Madam Speaker, I spoke of the transit home. Victoria Hospital, Madam Speaker, we are thankful to the Taiwanese again for the pediatric ward. If you go there today, Madam Speaker, you will see it has an atmosphere of wellness. You will see it's modern, and it is encouraging for parents to join their sick kids there because the atmosphere is just right. We have done renovations to the pharmacy department, renovations to Ward 6. Madam Speaker, Ward 6, for 13 years, nothing was done. After Hurricane Dean, and Madam Speaker, with the help of the Taiwanese, they financed the renovation. If you go and take a drive-by today, Madam Speaker, you will see that this government has engaged in painting the exterior of Victoria Hospital. Because we believe that not because in 33 months we'll be getting a new hospital, that we have to show no signs of care for the Victoria Hospital. So we gave it a facelift So now, Madam Speaker, if you drive by, it's much more pleasant to watch the civilians. In the new health facilities, Madam Speaker, plans are being made to develop, to support the new model of care, which is primary health care. And we are involving, Madam Speaker, our community, our health promoters, and the full integration of all services and providers to improve the care to patients using a cost-effective strategy. Madam Speaker, we are also developing a health information system. This health information system, Madam Speaker, will take our health system into the 21st century. It will offer us the facility to detect early detection. Madam Speaker, I would have to cut my presentation a little bit short on my ministry because I want to touch on my constituency. Madam Speaker, the constituency of Anne-Fleury Canary is one that has had poor representation before my representation. And Madam Speaker, I will just run through some of the things that we have done in each of our areas. And I, Madam Speaker, I have to cut short. Madam Speaker, Honourable Member,
I believe our Deputy Speaker did some wrong calculations.
Yes, I think so.
10:35, 11:35 to 45. You should be ending at 12:20, not 12:35.
Yes, Madam Speaker. I thought so, Madam Speaker.
Well, we asked for an additional 45 minutes for him.
Yes,
so
I did.
I think the calculation here is wrong.
Yes,
12:20.
Madam Speaker, I will stick to my constituency for now, and if I have any time left, I will come back. Madam Speaker, when I was elected to represent this constituency, what was mind-boggling, Madam Speaker, was that you had a section of an island which was the prettiest section of the island, and yet, Madam Speaker, it was the poorest. It was mind-boggling. But when I examined closer, Madam Speaker, I found that the representation in the past had not been up to par, and the people of this constituency were denied of that good representation. Madam Speaker, I have placed this constituency into various sectors: an agricultural section, tourism, light industry, fishing, and housing. The agricultural sector, Madam Speaker, makes up the area from the Rosal Valley to Techine. Millet, Jacmel, Boisden, Montizo, and various areas in Anne-Fleury and Canneries and Belvedere. Madam Fishing, we have two villages, the fishing villages. And Madam Speaker, we have encouraged, in opposition, Madam Speaker, I was able to assist the fishermen in Anne-Fleury with a fishing aggregate device, or the FAD. Madam Speaker, the FAD is an aggregate that helps and attracts fish, but helps the fishermen catch a better catch. Because, Madam Speaker, as I moved to the constituency in Anne-Fleury Canneries, you'd hear the fishermen saying that they've gone to sea, they have not caught anything, coming back, they have to have gas to pay and get gas to go back again. And Madam Speaker, I thought to them, tell me one thing I can do to make the difference. And Madam Speaker, in contributing towards these FADs, we were able to improve the fishing in Anne-Fleury. And these FADs are now widespread in that area. and we have better fishing in the ancillary canneries area. Madam Speaker, with regards to tourism, as I said before, this constituency is full of beauty. We have waterfalls in canneries, we have waterfalls in ancillary, we have waterfalls in Millet Venus. Madam Speaker, we have a trail in the Tetchina area, which is one of the best trails in St. Lucia. You are almost guaranteed it's a trail, a 2.5 hour trail walk. It's a trail that you are almost guaranteed to see the St. Lucia parrot, the ramie, the agouti, the federal snake, and the boa constrictor. Madam Speaker, I just want to touch on some of the developments that we've done in each of the areas in the constituency. Madam Speaker, when I was elected, Madam Speaker, Roseau, we had a problem with the public facility, something that has brought various disciplines from engineering, from communication and roads, health, and Madam Speaker, every single one of them had it labeled urgent. But Madam Speaker, the people of Roseau will be pleased to know that we will be building a new public facility at a cost of about $500,000 in the next month or two. We have engaged the people in Roseau, Madam Speaker, in various beautification programs. Madam Speaker, the unemployment in Roseau is very high. Very high. I think it might be one of the highest on the island. In Mondor, Madam Speaker, we have renovated the bus shelters. We have done footpaths, green construction. We have constructed feeder roads for the farmers into Mondor. Because, Madam Speaker, with rough roads, the bananas take a beating. In Vanna, Madam Speaker, we have renovated and still in progress in renovating the multi-purpose port. We have done footpaths in Vanna, feeder roads between Vanna and Dorando. In Dorando, Madam Speaker, we have done footpaths and drainage, retaining walls. Venus, we have done retaining walls. Madam Speaker, in Venus, we have opened up some agricultural land so that farmers can get into the interior. Madam Speaker, you know Venus is heavy with rainforest, but rich agricultural land. Madam Speaker, in Tetchina Millet, we are just in the process of completing the community center. It's about 90% complete in Tetchina Millet. We have done footpaths to aid residents to their homes. We have done feeder roads in the Park Estate. We are also having, from the Ministry of Agriculture and through the OECS, an ecotourism center, whereby, Madam Speaker, we are training guards for the footpath, not the footpath, the trail. We're going to be having displays so that we can have a tourist attraction in this area. Madam Speaker, in the Montezo-Jacmel-Boden area, Madam Speaker, you remember the last heavy rains that came in St. Lucia, Madam Speaker, and we had some accidents in the forestry area this weekend. Madam Speaker, we had engaged in putting footpaths, retaining walls, drainage to the home and the infrastructure of this area. And Madam Speaker, had we not done that, we'd have had a lot of accidents from slides and houses falling in that area. Madam Speaker, we have done retaining walls. We did a road in Daria Ravine. We built a computer center, as I said before, Madam Speaker, in Baden. We extended the daycare center in Baden. Madam Speaker, all these funds, most of these things, Madam Speaker, are from the funds from Taiwan. Madam Speaker, we are converting the old laundry in Jacmel into a sports changing facility. Because, Madam Speaker, the Rosa Valley, the playing field at Jack Mills is one of the main areas where the young people exercise and have various sports. Soon, Madam Speaker, we will be blessed with the resurfacing of the road from Jack Mills to Montezuma from the community funds, Madam Speaker, and I thank the Ministry of Communications for this because, Madam Speaker, it needs doing and it is bad. Madam Speaker, also, this fiscal year, we are hoping to have a road from Montezuma to either Mondo or Vanna. Madam Speaker, this will open up agricultural and residential areas. The bottom book has this one. Because, Madam Speaker, I believe that when the communities are linked, it is an advantage to link in your communities. It builds commerce and it increases land use, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, in Canaries, we've repaired all the roads in Canaries. Madam Speaker, we've built footpaths in Flora Villa. All the roads to the village. Yes, Madam Speaker, all the roads to the village. If you go there, Madam Speaker, you will see the asphalt and you will see we have patched the road up with concrete because, Madam Speaker, all the edges were dropping. Madam Speaker, we built a footpath in Flora Villa. Madam Speaker, a footpath that was promised since 1974 at the time of Kenneth Foster represented this area. Madam Speaker, these people have been yearning for this footpath. And Madam Speaker, under the administration of the United Workers Party, Madam Speaker, this is done right now. So you can access Canaries Village from a certain point in Flora Villa and walk right down to the village. It's another access. Madam Speaker, we built a washing facility in Belvedere, a laundry facility in Belvedere. Madam Speaker, we are constructing a new public facility in Flora Villa and renovating the one in the village. Madam Speaker, you know, this is very important to Canaries because, Madam Speaker, it is almost impossible to put a sewer system or a septic system in Canaries. 75% of the people in Canaries, approximately, don't have access to a flush toilet, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, in Anseloree, Madam Speaker, we renovated the public facility at Pitibook. We renovated the bridge in Pitibook. We built footpaths in Pitibook. We improved the drainage on Mole Street and Bridge Street. We constructed a cricket pitch on the Anseloree cricket playing field. We have a computer center at the primary school. Yes, Madam Speaker. We have the fishing complex, as I've mentioned. We are extending, thanks to the Minister of Housing, we are extending the community center in Anseloree. We are constructing a daycare center in Anseloree. Madam Speaker, good water has been a problem in Anseloree for years. And Madam Speaker, the representatives for Catrice East once came to Anseloree with the Minister of Communications and Works of the last administration and were trying to convince the people of Anseloree that they had good water. But Madam Speaker, when he was thirsty, he asked for water, but he didn't want the tap water. I said, give him the tap water. He said, go and buy a bottle of water for him. That was good about. But Madam Speaker, with my representation and this government, Madam Speaker, I am proud to say that soon this will be something of the past because we engage in a project, Madam Speaker, to correct the water problems in Anseloree in the vicinity of $5.6 million, thanks to the European Union, Madam Speaker. We are relocating the catchment area. We are building new reservoir, new treatment areas. We are building a new pumping station. We are running pipes to the village of Anseloree up to Otabo and Oporto, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, also, Madam Speaker, we are building a health center in Anseloree for $2 million, Madam Speaker. It is a model, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, it is a model, an all-inclusive, and it will be the model for establishing the health, the primary health care system that we are going to be adopting in conclusion. Madam Speaker, most of these items, I would have, if I had time, Madam Speaker, I would have listed all the items that we have done with the help of the Taiwanese family, Madam Speaker, and I would have listed all the funds, all the things that were done from the Confucian government, and all the funds that were, all the things that were done by other sources. But because of time, we don't have the time. And I will show you, Madam Speaker, the importance of the programs, the grassroots programs, Madam Speaker. And Madam Speaker, I will tell the people, and the people of the constituency of Anklet Canneries will tell you the benefit that these grassroots projects have brought to them. But Madam Speaker, I want to send a message to the opposition that they will find out on the day of this next election, they will find out what benefit that this came to the people of this constituency. Madam Speaker, this is a poor constituency, and I have to fight hard. I have to fight hard to get things, to change the perception of poverty, Madam Speaker, and this is what this government is encouraging, and this is what this government is giving their support with the other, with all the ministers. Madam Speaker, one last thing I want to say, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, every St. Lucian knows the extent at which the Labour Party and some of their supporters accusing me of all things. Accusing, Madam Speaker, the latest Catholic. This is why my vote in this constituency will tell them the results in the next election. Madam Speaker, they have a Catholic, Madam Speaker. They send one of their spin doctors to make a certain announcement that a minister has done such and such a thing. And Madam Speaker, he would not say the name of the minister, but he would give the name that he wants to destroy to his supporters, and they would call the radio stations and say, I think it is Mondesian, and spread your name and your integrity. And Madam Speaker, this is why I'm so surprised that they were so sensitive to their integrity being damaged. But they have not seen, Madam Speaker, that they are damaging good people's reputation. Madam Speaker, politics, I will not give up to the Labour Party, Madam Speaker, because I have a tough back. And Madam Speaker, it doesn't bother me, because all the accusations, Madam Speaker, none of the ministers can come up and say they have proof on any one of them. They are accusations, and I want the people of St. Lucia, Madam Speaker, in this house, to know that I've been dealt with by the Labour Party, and what we should do, Madam Speaker, to ask the people of St. Lucia, to ask the Labour Party, especially the leader of the opposition, what you've seen in this gentleman that you prosecute him and you're on his back like that. Madam Speaker, one of the things is this. People don't go after weak people. People go after strong people that they try to destroy. You never see a dead soldier being shot. You always see an alive soldier, a kicking soldier being shot. This is what it is, Madam Speaker. They are afraid of the talent that they have before them. But Madam Speaker, they will not deny the people in the constituency of Anklet Canneries the kind of representation and the man that is behind that representation to not give them the representation. And also, Madam Speaker, they will not deny the people of St. Lucia the opportunity for me to serve the people of St. Lucia. Madam Speaker, you heard him criticizing. You want him out as a minister, but yet their own ex-minister, Daniel Green, is congratulating you. Madam Speaker, I want to say to them.
Remember, we have 5 minutes left, and we guided that we do not use names in the House of either chamber.
Okay, Madam Speaker, I apologize. Madam Speaker, one of the things, Madam Speaker, that I want to draw the attention to this House. We have a leader, the opposition leader, Madam Speaker. The leader of the opposition. Madam Speaker, from the day I entered politics, the records ahead to prove if you have any pain. I have always branded this opposition leader as a poor manager. He is a very poor manager. Madam Speaker, the records here from presentation to presentation demonstrate the poor management. But Madam Speaker, there is a gentleman that wants to control the money, the finance of this country. Madam Speaker, I would not give this gentleman the opportunity to watch my briefing. Because, Madam Speaker, he would lose it. He would lose it. But yet, Madam Speaker, he's criticizing people that are capable, people that can manage, people that have been successful, people that have taken things from nothing and make it something. But Madam Speaker, he's never even earned his own salary. I would like to see the bill, Madam Speaker, when I could walk through the town of Cass Street and see a shingle written of this gentleman doing that he's practicing law and make a living for himself. Madam Speaker, Madam Speaker, I'd like to go back a little bit. Because of time, Madam Speaker, it's unfortunate I did not have the opportunity to give you the full scope of the things that we have accomplished in the Ministry of Health over the last 2 years. But Madam Speaker, there will be another day, and I will slowly inform the Conclusion public the job that we have been doing in the Ministry of Health. I want to say a very pleasant good evening to all, good night and good evening, to all the people in my constituency. And I thank them again for giving me this opportunity to represent them. And Madam Speaker, the people in my constituency know I'm a hard-working representative. Also, Madam Speaker, that I've represented them well so far, and I'll continue to do so. I thank you, Madam Speaker.